Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. We will be joined here in just a moment from now by Norm O'Reilly. Norm is the Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England. He is also an author who has written multiple books about a variety of sports. He has one called Business the NHL Way, Lessons from the Greatest, from the Fastest Game on Earth. That includes, by the way, a foreword by NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. He also just recently released a book called The Rise of Major League Soccer, Building a Global Giant. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be absolutely painful for me to have Norm on and not ask him about footy. But we've got more important stuff to get to. Norm O'Reilly has been very tuned in to what has been happening in the NIL world. He just popped me an email during the break, said he's taking just an extra minute to get himself set up in front of the computer. And as soon as he logs in, we will get him on the show here and ask him again. If you missed it, we are stacked, racked, locked, and loaded for the day. Norm O'Reilly will be here in just a moment. Confirmed Rashad Beard at 8:20, kind enough to move up a segment. We'll talk some Panther football with Rashad at 8:20 a.m. Jay Paterno, the son of Joe Paterno, he's also an author, coach, and commentator, spent 2 decades coaching, including 17 years at Penn State. He is also an author now with a book called Blitz, The All-Out Pressure of College Football's New Era. He wrote that book when the NIL and the portal world started to materialize. Jay has obviously also been very much involved with the House v. NCAA settlement. We'll talk to Jay from the perspective of the coaches, the athletic departments, and the schools. And then at 9 o'clock, Matt Hand is an attorney, a sports law expert, and a founder of Alta Sports Management, an organization that helps partner student-athletes with brands, with companies, to create and capitalize on NIL deals. Then at 9:20, Rachel Dory, the CTO of Betalytics, is going to pop by because, well, we had a redonkulous Stanley Cup Finals game last night between Florida and Edmonton. We will get her reaction to last night's game and her predictions for the future of the Stanley Cup playoffs at 9:20. But again, the three guests to discuss the NIL, I am very excited to have our guest today to ask some of the questions that I'm sure many of you have. I know I do, because we got a lot in terms of consequences. We got a lot in terms of knowing what's happened and where we're going. And we still got a lot we got to figure out to help us do that. Joining us now on the radio program, he is the Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England. Mr. Norm O'Reilly joins the show. Norm, my man, good morning. Thanks for taking a few minutes, buddy. Great to have you.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for reaching out. Sorry I'm a couple of minutes late. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's all good, man. I know you're very busy, and I know that because you are both in your car, but also wearing a tie, which means it's an important day for Norm O'Reilly.
On a Friday, no less.
Does UNE not give you casual Fridays, Norm?
Our board of trustees is in town. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a tie on, to be honest.
Gotta schmooze the big wigs. Gotta schmooze the big wigs. I get it. All right, Norm, let's get into the ramifications of the House v. NCAA settlement. And I'll start with you, if you don't mind, just kind of your 36,000-foot view. We had extension after extension after extension of the settlement. We thought we were going to get a decision 2 or 3 weeks ago. It gets pushed into early June, which is interesting because there are deadlines coming up as far as opting into the revenue split, getting that set by early July when the payments are supposed to start. So just your 36,000-foot view on what we went through, how we got here, and the reaction you had last Friday night when you heard that the settlement was accepted by Judge Claudia Wilkin.
Yeah, it's a great point. And these legal casings with billions of dollars at play, actually, there's an argument that it's come pretty quickly. And, you know, you think about the ramifications of paying off athletes in the past, how that's going to get implemented. This decision and the very specific words, as many experts have been saying, are going to dictate many further legal cases, discussions among schools, the NCAA, athletes, their agents, their states. It's going to be really, really complicated. So these are exceptionally important decisions that's been made from that perspective. And then also the changing reality of the current landscape, which is essentially make it just like pro sport in terms of sponsorship.
So let's talk. I do want to circle back to that, but I do want to talk about the potential legal challenges. We have an appeals process. We already have our first major appeal that's been filed by a group of young women who are arguing that the settlement does not meet Title IX standards. The judge heard that argument during the appeals process, said that this isn't really a Title IX case. This is kind of disconnected from that. What do you make of, if you've got anything on that particular appeal, and what other challenges might this settlement face down the future, and what impact would it have on the settlement potentially?
Yeah, it's a great, I mean, the appeal is interesting, and I don't have any specific insight which way it's going to go, but I think it's indicative of many we're going to see. As we all know, a large proportion of the dollars and profitability, if you can use that term, is for men's football and men's basketball, right? That's the reality. So whether it's women's sport, whether it's Olympic sport, you know, swimming, et cetera, those sports traditionally have been a much different environment, right? We've written a lot about this. Those 99.9% of the athletes that the scholarship was the best thing that ever happened to them. And I was one of these types of athletes, right? You don't want to lose track of that importance. But those that have market generating potential tend to be those two sports we just talked about and Olympians. They're in this different bucket. And so that's the judge's point, right? Is this case is about those that have market revenue generating potential on their own, like not attached to the university, their team, their sport, in addition to. And that is a very small fraction of NCAA athletes, but a fraction that makes a lot of money and a lot of dollars can flow in, right? And we've just seen a softball female player at $1 million deal. That's indicative of what's going to come, but those are still relatively rare outside of the two big men's sports.
Norm O'Reilly, Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England, kind enough to join us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate this morning. That's kind of been a big question, Norm, is what does this settlement mean for those Olympic sports? I was listening to somebody on a different local show yesterday say that they have the fear that Olympic sports could ultimately end up going away because of this settlement. The universities are so concerned about meeting the terms of the House settlement and about the revenue split and taking care of the athletes in the world of sports that does generate revenue that they may ultimately start cutting some of the other programs that definitely don't. Have you got any input on what danger this might pose to the non-revenue generating sports?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something we've actually seen, right, in recent years. And you think about the examples of men's wrestling, you know, that because of Title IX and the schools making decisions. So the big question is, does this grow the overall pie, right? Because now brands and external entities and donor pools, et cetera, can get more value for their money because they're allowed to do things with athletes, the universities, the teams, coaches, whatever they want to do. It's an open market. So will that increase the pie? And within that pie, will the NCAA, largely through March Madness, still be able to maintain their large pool of revenue that they share? And those revenue share dollars or university-based dollars will be much more open and supportive of women's sport, Olympic sports, minor sports. And it might be a strategy for University of X that wants a rowing team to be very strong. And they may actually, now they can put some money there. But you may see a contraction. I think that's the expectation in a number of the size of the teams. Or if a university is using it, like we would do at University of New England, as a student attraction tool, we're adding teams. That's a D3 reality. But we've already seen some D1 schools move to D3. You may see more of that. Those like, hey, we don't want part of this. This is too crazy. We want the old environment. Well, that still exists at a D2, D3 level. And you can live in that world and not have to compete with the big power. So we're really talking about the power four, ish kind of group in this pool. And they will make those decisions. And universities like Stanford and Texas have historically offered a whole breadth of sports. They want to win the President's Cup. Maybe it becomes less competitive or strategic because maybe women's volleyball is going to have less teams investing. You go get the best Olympic future players, and you can all of a sudden win an NCAA championship. So it really boils down to what they decide, the overall pool. But yes, I think I would agree that we're going to see a contraction and strategic decisions now. And a lot of those will be driven by the external donors, either to the university that's been shared, the university's overall revenue pool, which they can do. So that notion of central and external revenues, which we see in pro sport, think about the NFL or something, that's going to creep in and really be the reality of the NCAA going forward. So it's going to be very interesting. But if the pool grows and those sports are able to have marketing benefiting revenue generating outcomes for themselves and for their athletes, they may become a strategic choice.
So one of the thoughts that I had, because you brought up that this is, it may start to kind of bump up against an NFL model. Historically, both on and off the field, colleges and universities, especially at the P4 level, have competed against each other. They have always tried to find that little bit of a strategic edge, maybe even played in the gray areas of the rules every now and then. Is there any possibility? We've already talked about the agreement that the conferences, specifically the Big 12 and SEC, have asked their schools to sign that say, hey, we are going to abide by the College Sports Commission, which we'll get to in a minute. But is there any chance down the line that we start seeing schools within the conference start to work kind of like the NFL does with their revenue? Every franchise gets X amount. Do we start to see that when some schools are getting more and some schools are getting less into the pod? And do we see the conferences start to work together and say, look, the athletes are on a unified front. The only way we're going to be able to survive this is if we do the same. Is that a realistic possibility? Or do you think there's maybe too much competition for that to be a reality?
Oh, no, I think 100%. And that's a strong potential, is that the power of the conference, in the SEC, et cetera, we hear about have a lot of, but really the NCAA is the best known entity. We're going to see those grow, right? And you think about a UEFA versus a Premier League model, right? Which league is controlling? But all of a sudden, if they're able to generate, and back to the previous question, we could see those conferences make strategic decisions that, hey, we want to be, bad example, the Olympic sport conference. We want to be all about football or basketball, which a lot of them are now anyways. We want to be known for women's sport. I mean, on the side, as you know, we've seen women's sport interest really going up. Now, the money hasn't followed as much as a lot of us would like, but it's starting to come. Maybe you say, hey, we're all about the women. And so I think that's a very interesting point you make, and really something that this decision allows is a conference now has a lot more latitude strategically to either A, direct their own funds, or B, support their athletes attracting those funds. Because creating that marketing value doesn't, I mean, there's sure the super duper star and she's super charismatic and social, yes, but the universities and the teams can also really support a lot of their players. I mean, there's lots of MLB players that get sponsorship that really have none of those attributes, but because they're part of a team that do that. So you could see a lot of interesting things happen, and schools have done that already under the previous NIL, but under this generation, if they could provide a platform for their athletes, imagine you come in and they've got all the social tools, digital tools, PR people. You've seen some HR changes at the big schools already, and they're kind of characterizing as, hey, we're letting people go. I think you're going to see they're going to let people go on the sport technical side and start hiring people on the marketing digital side to support those athletes. But we come in, the rev share model's in place. As I said earlier, if that pie grows, whether it's at the conference level, the NCAA level, the athlete level, the team level, it can all have really positive effects if there are more dollars coming in.
Norm O'Reilly, Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. If I had to ask you now, and I know that we are talking about a process that may be playing out for years, if not decades, down the line, if I had to ask you what the biggest legal hurdle or the most likely legal challenge against this settlement that could throw another wrench into the system, what would you think that might be?
Clearly, the biggest one is the going back in time. And I think it's $2.8 billion is the actual number that's been set aside for previous athletes. Like, oh my God, that's a math problem, right? Who gets it? How do you divide it out? How do you make it fair? So let's just put that aside, right? Because I think your question's an interesting one. That's by far, and that's going to be something that happens, but it's not going to affect the regular day-to-day. The one that I think is going to be very interesting is this $20.5 million kind of per school kind of amount they've put in place, right? And that's a really interesting one because you have the haves and the have-nots, right? And for Michigan and Texas, that's why, well, can't we spend more, right? But for a lot of the lower-end Power 4 schools and then the next level of D1, in some cases, that's your entire budget. Right. And so you can't do that. And so it's going to really, really create this have and have nots out there. And so if you're still a D1 school that really wants to have competitive teams and wants to do well in March Madness, the Cinderella teams may start disappearing, right, in this kind of model. All of that's going to be very interesting. And whether at the conference level we talked about, there'll be some interesting legal challenges there outside of how do we divide up that big amount of money in the past. So I think there's going to be some ones that have a lot more implications on the current reality, but clearly a lot of legal fees are going to be spent on splitting up that $2.8 billion.
That $2.8 billion, we've heard a lot about it, about where it's going to come from, how the NCAA is going to get that money, how they're going to distribute. They do have 10 years to ultimately pay that off, which Charlie Baker, the president, said the other day, if we didn't get those 10 years, we'd have been bankrupt and that'd be it. But with that $2.8 billion on the table for the NCAA, what, if any, impact will the requirement to back pay that $2.8 billion have on smaller schools that maybe are not quite as big? And it can be smaller schools within the Power Four, maybe like a Wake Forest in the ACC, or schools that are maybe even down further, a UNLV. How much are they going to have to pitch into this, and how will it impact the bottom dollar of the athletic departments of those types of schools?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it comes down to, we've seen this in other pros, because we can classify this as pro sport now. If you have a weak league, right, if the league is not able, and you could use the same thing in any association environment, not able to support its members, so the schools as members, when they need it. So the NCAA has been in a very good position for about four decades, right, largely thanks to March Madness. And we all know the majority of their revenues come from that event. So as long as that event stays like it is, they should be okay to cover this. But their financial situation, as Charlie said, for the next 10 years is highly constrained. So the ability for them to support a member who's in trouble, to invest, which they do, right, which a good league does, is compromised. So that's a bit of a risk. Now, as he said, there's that 10-year window, and that's why she likely gave that amount of time. That could be extended. It's going to get delayed in legal cases that parts of it are there. If they got a plan, hopefully they can do it. But their ability to do other things, just like you take a big mortgage out on your house, your ability to go buy a new car goes down, right? The same analogy is at play. They're now highly leveraged with a huge debt, very challenging for them to do other things financially. So if another big problem was to come along 3 years from now that none of us have foreseen that could cost them a nine figure check, we're in trouble, right? And so that's where the risk comes. And then those schools that need the NCAA, and there's lots of them, would find that they wouldn't be as helpful as they have been in the past.
A problem coming along the NCAA didn't foresee. There's no way, no way. Norm O'Reilly, Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. From your perspective, as somebody who is obviously involved with UNE, as somebody who's been trailing this story for a very long time, Norm, my stance has been, I think it's fantastic that college athletes can build their brand, can go out, can capitalize on the one thing that the universities don't own, which is them as people, as faces, as names, etc. I think that NIL has been exceptionally positive for athletes, and I'd like your thought on that. And then your thoughts on with the NIL go, with the new clearinghouse rules, with all the things the schools have to do to make sure that these contracts are good and they fit within the parameters and all that, how you think this decision may impact NIL down the line, if at all.
As a former average high-performance athlete myself, I agree with you 100%. I mean, this the trajectory over the last decade really has been very good for athletes, right? Sure, the super-duper stars have benefited enormously, but it allows athletes and teams to start thinking about, do I have marketing value? And as we said earlier, I mean, that's a very small proportion that have an agent and people are going to bang down their door and Gatorade and a shoe deal are going to come. You're talking about, you know, a dozen athletes amongst 400,000, whatever the exact number is of NCAA athletes. But for the rest of them, as long as we can keep that scholarship model in place, which is the best thing in the lives of many of those athletes that ever happened to them, right? And so you'd hate to see that go away. But for those, the teams that do well, that promote, that are attached to a school that's going to support them, it also allows the universities to start having people that are agent-like. And we've seen this already with NIL, the first round, to have experts, like an agent would do for a super pro, to say, hey, you know, Rob, you should focus on your studies and your training. You don't have a lot of marketing value. We're not being mean to you, but no one's going to give you extra money. You might get a couple of discounts at a local restaurant and to go to school or whatever, but we're not going to give you. But hey, Rob, wait a minute. You're now really showing some potential. You're on the U.S. national team. Let's think about this. How can we do this? How can we help you? If you do better, you get more social media. That helps us recruit. I mean, Clemson there's lots of examples out there that show that positive athletic success leads to recruitment. The things I worry about as a dean part of my life, getting students in to run the business that is your university. So there's a lot of really, and I'm obviously a biased marketing sponsorship person, but there's a lot of real positive benefit in there to either A, help those athletes not go down the road if it's a waste of their time, focus on your studies and your performance and have the greatest NCAA career you possibly can. Don't be chasing sponsors. Or if you do have that value, let's support you. You benefit, we benefit. It's all really good. So I'm really positive like you are about that part of it.
Norm O'Reilly, Dean of the College of Business. I was going to let you go there, but I'm going to take off my producer and co-host Alonzo here because I am going to ask one more. You mentioned there in that last answer that you hope the scholarship model doesn't go away. Do you think that that is a realistic possible outcome?
I hope not, but it's something you do think about, right? Because universities put a lot of money into those, and a lot of them are endowed now, and a lot of comes from donors, a lot comes from other places, but at the D1 level, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And, you know, a lot of these big schools, I spent some time at Syracuse, the tuition is really, really high. And so if those were to go away, and I think football, basketball, the big ones, a lot of them are endowed or set, but you start creeping into all of the other sports, back to our discussion a little while ago, it's not an unreasonable thing to think about as dollars are now moving from going to the institution to going direct to the athlete.
Norm O'Reilly, Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England, kind enough to share some time with us today. You can find information about UNE at une.edu and the College of Business at une.edu/college-of-business. And two really good books that I'm intrigued. I'm going to pick up The Rise of Major League Soccer, Building a Global Giant. As a footy head, I'd really like the MLS to keep going up. I'm going to have you back, Norm, to talk a little MLS in the future. My man, honor, privilege. Thank you very much for the time. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Thank you, Rob, so much. It was great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Norm O'Reilly, again, Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England, kind enough to give us some time this morning. Let's head to a break. We are back after this with your water cooler cheat sheet next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I don't know about you all. I found that conversation very interesting. I found a lot of the details that Norm O'Reilly dropped in that conversation very interesting. There were two things Lonzo and I were talking during the break that really jumped out above the rest at us. One of them was Norm saying, the one that jumped out at me was Norm when he kind of dropped in the middle of nowhere there when he said, you know, the scholarship model is the best thing that happens to, and he mentioned there's like, you know, what, 140,000 NCAA athletes across all sports, all levels. And he said for a large chunk, if maybe not the majority of them, earning an athletic scholarship is the best thing in their life. So we hope that the scholarship model doesn't go away. Now, we're going to have Norm back on at some point because I really would like to dive deeper into that concept, because during the break when we were talking about this, I'm trying to figure out how that would happen. And the only answer I've come to is effectively schools end up, at least the ones that have the revenue sharing and don't drop down to D2. And that's what jumped out at Lonzo, was the thought that you may start seeing a healthy number of Division I schools that drop down to a D2 level, where the traditional college setup is still in place. They are not going to be impacted by the House v. NCAA settlement. And so for smaller schools that maybe aren't in Power 4 conferences, aren't getting a ton of money, and that have relied on some type of subsidy from the NCAA over the years, the NCAA now with $2.8 billion of back pay on the books may not be able to hand out subsidies to some of these smaller schools that are not as financially equipped as they have, which means those schools may need to drop down to D2 just so that there's less expenses, there's less obligation on them. They may be able to find support in other places just to exist. But for a lot of the small schools, I am very intrigued by Norm O'Reilly's thought that there is a possibility down the line that the scholarship formula that has been in play forever may ultimately end up being a casualty of this settlement.
You know, I guess also I never really thought about the fact, I think maybe I just believed that this revenue sharing thing went for all levels. I didn't realize it was just for D1.
It is D1, and the only schools that are obligated to participate in it are the Power 4 schools. Anybody outside of the Power 4, UNLV, if they elect not to participate in revenue sharing, doesn't have to. But Norm also said...
So Notre Dame doesn't have to do it.
I believe Notre Dame is part of the agreement.
Oh, okay.
Even though they're outside of a conference. I believe. I could be incorrect about that. I believe they are part of the agreement. But what I would say about that... And again, like there's all these different interesting aspects that we still are going to discover. And as Norm pointed out, there are legal challenges coming that we probably could not have forecasted, right? Like I kind of made the joke in there, but he said, if something comes down the pipe, another settlement, another judgment against the NCAA that has another 8 or 9 figure back pay or penalty or obligation attached to it, the NCAA could end up in real, real trouble. Like the part of the reason they were willing to accept the settlement here was, aside from the fact that it limited the back pay of damages to $2.8 billion, when I saw some people predicting that if the settlement did not go through and the court cases against the NCAA went the direction of the plaintiffs, the NCAA could have been on the hook for upwards of $8 billion, which would have ruined that organization and that entity. Now, a lot of you believe that. Some of you still text me routinely that you believe the NCAA is ultimately going away at some point anyway. We are ultimately, I believe that. I've been saying for years now. I think the inevitable conclusion of all of this is that down the line, we are going to have some sort of football, let's be clear, football, but college football super league. Not all of you super versed in soccer, but you heard him mention the concept of a super league in soccer. There was a big controversy a couple of years ago in European soccer because a group of owners of major clubs got together and basically said, what if we established a super league that only was comprised of the biggest clubs, the most well-known the biggest clubs? And people really got angry and spoke out about that because basically what would have happened is you would have established a world in which a lot of small clubs would have just died. Their ability to get in, stay in, participate in the top 2 or 3 levels of domestic and club football is what kept them afloat. So you have this concept on one side of the Super League gets together. It's going to generate a ton of interest because it's the best of the best, only playing the best of the best. But you would have killed off a lot of smaller clubs, A, and B, you would have restricted access to football for a lot of fans. And that is what I think a lot of us see being the potential outcome of an SEC Big Ten partnership down the line, is that they just form their own football thing. It is off to the side. It is separate. It is effectively college football, but it will really be that NFL model that so many of you have been concerned about college sports becoming. It would really become that. They would govern themselves. They would have their own rules, regulations. I would assume that they would ultimately end up asking for antitrust exemptions. Like, there is a lot going on to it that I think needs to be addressed. So, all that being said, we'll talk more about it later on because at 8:40, just over an hour from now, Jay Paterno, son of Joe Paterno, is going to stop by. He is an author, coach, and analyst of, well, all of this. We'll talk to Jay Paterno in just over an hour. And then at 9 o'clock, Matt Hand is a sports attorney and the founder of Alta Sports Management, an NIL organization that represents student-athletes. We'll get his perspective on the student-athlete side of all of this. We've also got Rashad Beard at 8:20 to talk Panther football. Rachel Dory at 9:20 to talk Stanley Cup Finals. We are booked up. You want in? Next segment is basically your last chance to be a part of the show for a while. So do that. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, baby. Taking you all the way up till you start work at 8 o'clock, and then you can ignore the first 2 hours of work because it's Friday. Yeah. And just listen to The Rob Brown Show. Or watch The Rob Brown Show because you can join us on our live stream at facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube, at The Fan Upstate on Twitter, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Because we're young, cool, and hip like that. Now, we had Norm O'Reilly back at the opening part of the hour. If you missed that interview, worry not, my dear friends, because within minutes of the conclusion of the show today, it will be available on demand for your perusal and enjoyment at thefanupstate.com. Click on the podcast section, drop it down to The Rob Brown Show. And every episode is placed on that website on demand at its conclusion. So if you miss a day, miss a segment, miss an hour, you can go back and find it there, including our conversation with the Dean of the College of Business of the University of New England and noted author Norm O'Reilly, who I thought had a fascinating conversation with us to open this. That will be there. And at the end of the show, we will also have our interviews with Jay Paterno coming up here in an hour, Rashad Beard coming up here in about 40 minutes talking Panther football, Matt Hand coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll talk to him, the founder of Alta Sports Agency. He works with student athletes to facilitate and help them capitalize on NIL deals. And Rachel Dory at 9:20 of CTO of Betalytics to talk some hacky after a bananas game last night. Oh, speaking of the game last night, that's one of the items on this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. Ordinarily, we do this at 7 a.m., but we did have Norm O'Reilly on. Again, appreciate his time, and then that made it a short segment, last segment, so we do it here. Shut up, it makes sense, it works for me. Item number one. I mentioned it moments ago. Game number four of the Stanley Cup Finals was last night, and it was one of the most bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, hockey games I have seen in a very, very, very long time, playoffs or otherwise. 11 and some change into the game, it was very clear that something was wrong with the Oilers. A ton of early penalties at one point handed the Florida Panthers a two-man advantage. Matthew Tkachuk would take advantage. 11:40 into the first period. Tkachuk off the dime from Barkov finds the back of the net. 1-0 Florida. 5 minutes and a few ticks later, Matthew Tkachuk would get numero dos, both of them power play goals. The apples from Reinhardt and Barkov, his second of the night. And then with less than 45 seconds remaining in the third period, Anton Lundell would find his sixth goal of the playoffs off the dime from Carter Verhaeghe and Sam Reinhardt. At that point, it felt like it was going to be all cats all night, but the Oilers went to the dressing room. They had a little come to Jesus meeting and must have worked, because the second period belonged to Edmonton. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scored a power play goal 3.5 minutes in. 3-1 Florida. Darnell Nurse would find just his third postseason goal off the helpers from Ekholm and Henrique. That made it 2-3. And then Pagolson would score 15 and some change in. Podzi gets his second goal of the playoffs off the helpers from Nurse and Dreisaitl. End two, it went from a 3-0 Panther lead to a 3-3 tie game into the third. 13.5 in, Jake Walman would score the fourth consecutive goal for the Edmonton Oilers. They take their first lead of the night. And then we get down inside of a minute left to play. Sergei Bobrovsky pulled off the ice. Florida with the empty net and the extra skater. 20 seconds remaining in the game. A puck flips out wide, and Sam Reinhardt was there for the pickup. He's able to go to the right-hand side, bury it. And Matthew Tkachuk and Bennett credited with the apples on that 4-4 tie ball game. We would go to OT, and Leon Draisaitl, 11 and some change into the extra time period, would get a beaut of a pass from Podzi and bury it past Bob. 5-4 winners for Edmonton. Edmonton did go back, as I thought that they should, with Stu Skinner. However, Stu Skinner got cooked for those three goals. Now, again, I don't put it all on Stu, and I'm kind of frustrated with the Edmonton fans that did. My dude was against Florida, a very good power play team, against their power play for like 8 minutes in the first period. Of course, he gave up some goals, but after giving up three, they flipped him over. They brought in Calvin Pickard. Pickard would just give up one goal on 23 shots faced and give Edmonton the opportunity to climb back into this thing. Game five is tomorrow night back in Florida. The NHL does roll with a 2-3-2 format, so Florida gets one more at the crib before we all get on a big old jet airliner and take it up north to the great white north for games 6 and 7 if necessary. By the way, NBA playoffs continue tonight. Game number 4 is at Indiana. Ball tipped at 8:30 p.m. The Pacers up 2-1. They're not upsets, people. Stop calling them upsets. They didn't upset them. They beat them. Because they're a good basketball team. Oklahoma City is a good basketball team too, but the Pacers are a good basketball team, and they are just tired of the damn disrespect. I'm tired of the disrespect for them, and I'm not even a Pacers guy. Game number 4 tonight at Indiana, 8:30. We will break all of the weekend's finals action down on Monday. Item number two. U.S. Open taking place at Oakmont. You may not know the name, J.J. Spahn. You did after yesterday, a club record 31 on the front nine. He would turn in a clubhouse-leading bogey-free 66 to take the first-round lead. Only nine players behind Spahn are under par. That should tell you just how good this course was. Well, if you're an entertainment fan, not if you're a golfer. Oakmont was driving people up a wall yesterday. Some big names struggled. Bryson DeChambeau, your reigning defending U.S. Open champion, carded a plus three. Rory McIlroy, who was already struggling coming in. Let's pretend or not pretend that he wasn't. Rory carded a four over. Scottie Scheffler, the number one player on the face of the planet, turned in a three over. Had five bogeys in his round. He hasn't had five bogeys in a tournament in months at this point. He had five in the opening round.
This is how hard the course is?
Yup, this course yesterday, I'll put it this way. I got here this morning to the Fortress of Nerditude. I came in a little bit early, got here about 3:45 because I wanted to spend a little extra time getting set for these interviews. We got booked up all day. And as I was doing so, and I was waiting for an email back for confirmation for one of them today, I checked out the Instagram because I'm a millennial. We live our lives on social media. Got on Instagram. There's an Instagram account that all it did yesterday was go find shots from just round one where golfers got caught up in the thick stuff. 5 inches of standing up straight golf. All this account did was take the televised clips of golfers who got screwed by the rough and clipped them, like from the not even the warm-ups, just from the address and the swing to the landing of the ball, and then they cut to the next one. It was 3 minutes long.
Aren't you surprised that more courses don't do this, allow their rough to grow like that?
Not really.
Is it about the course or is it about the golfer? I guess it's about the golfer.
It's about both. I mean, in Oakmont's case, it's about the course, but it's about how the golfer, it's less about the golfer's talent, more about mentally how they handle it, right? If you go up there, you hit it on the side of the bunker, it's in 5 inches of grass, the ball's at your waist, and you got to try to hit it sideways and it comes out and you end up flying the green to the other side. How do you put that at the back of the noggin and move on? Like, that's golf. Golf's a mental game as much as, and maybe even more so than it is physical. Here's the other thing, though. The grass is always greener. When guys are going out there and shooting minus 22 on a tournament, we're like, oh, that's boring. I'm going to see them get their asses kicked. But let's be real. If we did three tournaments back-to-back where the winner's one under and nobody's hitting, you know, big-time shots and doing stuff we can't do, we would eventually go, ease up on the courses, fellas. Let's see these boys be spectacular.
So it's more about the fan feeling better about themselves because they can't do what they do. And then when they go out and look spectacular, it makes you feel less about yourself.
I think, again, we had this conversation when I was talking about Oakmont earlier in the week. I think for me, there is some element of intrigue of seeing professional golfers have to deal with the same mental bleep that I have to deal with after, like, every shot that I hit. Scottie Scheffler never has bleep moments until yesterday when he missed half of the fairways and had to come out of the rough. Like, it was messing with Scottie Scheffler.
So did anyone blame it on their caddies and fire them yesterday?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. We did have a dude who failed to qualify, a PGA Tour player who failed to qualify, who fired his caddy in the U.S. Open qualifier like 3 holes into his 18. Fired his caddy, had to carry his own bag the rest of the day. All right, real quick, before we get to the end of the hour, let's get to item number three. We are, as we have continued to do all week long, following the ramifications, the fallout, the consequences of the House v. NCAA settlement that was dropped last Friday night. We have seen, we broke it down for you yesterday, our first major appeal of the settlement. The appeal comes from 8 young ladies, college athletes, women college athletes, who said that the settlement does not meet its Title IX obligations. Now, as we also pointed out, that was brought up multiple times during the course of the settlement, and Judge Claudia Wilkin basically said, hey, this is not a Title IX issue. This has nothing to do with resources provided by the school in terms of resources generated by the school. This is just outright revenue. The effectively, the thought process here was revenue splitting is up to the schools because they're going to give it to the school, the sports that generate revenue. So it makes sense. Now, the appeal is still going to get heard. It is still likely going to find its way in front of a judge. Do I think it's going to go anywhere? Respectfully, probably not. Advocate, fan, ally of women's sports, I will promote it and push it, but I don't think that they have a case here to win this appeal. I could be wrong. We'll find out. But what we did find out yesterday is that the appeal being filed will not slow down the beginning of the revenue sharing, which is scheduled for July 1st. Attorney John Clune updated us on the appeal yesterday, but reports started circulating that despite the Title IX appeal coming through, the colleges are still, as of now, permitted to and planning on beginning their revenue sharing plan on the 1st of July, meaning that is day number one officially of the House v. NCAA era of college athletics. So you better believe we're going to be tuned in to find out what the financials, the consequences, the ramifications look like. We had Norm O'Reilly, the dean of the College of Business at the University of New England, join us earlier. He had some, I thought, very compelling thoughts and possibilities about the consequences moving forward. Again, missed that interview, thefanupstate.com. Drop down the podcast section. It'll be available on demand right after the show. I'm also going to clip all three of our interviews about NIL today, and they will all be up today on our YouTube channel for you to watch them as well. We have got Jay Paterno coming up in less than an hour. We have got Matt Hand coming up in an hour. Rashad Beard at 8:20, Rachel Dory at 9:20 to talk Panthers and Stanley Cup respectively. Now, sit back, relax, enjoy. Maybe light a candle for Lonzo's seductive sports flash.
Yeah, light a candle because no one wants to smell that. The Stanley Cup Finals are tied at two games each after a dramatic rally and 5-4 overtime win by Edmonton over Florida. The Panthers scored three goals in the first period to open up a lead, but Edmonton would score the same in the second to tie the game and the first goal of the third period to take a 4-3 lead. Game five is tomorrow in Florida. J.J. Spahn fired the first bogey-free round at Oakmont since Dustin Johnson in 2016 on his way to the top of the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. Spahn hit 14 of 18 fairways, recording a 31 on the front nine and a 66 overall. Tournament favorite Scottie Scheffler had five bogeys en route to a 3-over 73. Bengals rookie Shamar Stewart has left training camp over a contract dispute with the team. Stewart, who was fighting over a clause over that would void his entire contract of guaranteed money if 1 year is voided, unlike any other rookie contract the Bengals have signed.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.